2018. And the church always puts forth Christ the King for our consideration with regards to the contemplation of the end times. Now, the thing is, if Catholics are Catholic, you're going more by the church's calendar than you are your own calendar hanging on the wall with secular days, because your life as a Catholic revolves around the Mass, the liturgy of the church. And therefore, what's more important is fulfilling the realities of what the church offers you, which will be our emphasis during this Advent season, disposing yourselves towards the graces, the manifold graces that God affords you at Christmas. Remember, Christmas comes from Christ's Mass. Catholics have lost sight with the reality of what the Mass is. Some see it as a mere ceremony and not a ritual. Some are just here because they're supposed to be. It's what they always do. And some are here because they indeed want to worship God the Father through God the Son and the power of God the Holy Spirit, and then begin to receive the graces that comes from that divine perfect worship. And so therefore, we can reset ourselves by virtue of this, the Feast of Christ the King, by making certain when we take stock of the former year, have we been building up the kingdom of Christ, or have we been building our own kingdoms, our own fiefdoms, really, where we are in control, where we are in charge, where we have what we want, what is indeed agreeable to us? What certainly would not fulfill what our Lord says with regards to this telling of the general judgment, because this is our Lord recounting what will occur at the general judgment and the separation. When our Lord returns, this is after the great tumult that comes from Antichrist. This is after the final victory of Christ over all evil. And therefore now man is separated. Every human being who ever existed in the valley of Josaphat, the Lord will level mountains and hills in order for all the people to fit who ever existed in human history. And there will be the general judgment, which is done solely so that people can see true, authentic justice, and can see that Christ is not merely the one who forgives us, but the one who also judges us. Too many want the Christ to be unjust. They want him to give only mercy, and mercy that is never even asked for, because of their conviction that they don't have to repent from their sins, and that God accepts them however they are and whatever they do, because he is so needy and desperate that if we just look at him even once, he smiles contentedly, because he is not perfect. He is not complete in and of himself. He is not authentically God. But to know the one true God then is to know that he does not need us, and his love for us is freely given. It is not the desperate and often insipid human love where it is self-interested. I love someone because they're good to me, they're nice to me, they agree with me. I tend to stay only with those who think like I think, and I show no mercy to anyone who becomes my enemy, and I will only attack those who are my enemy and never have anything to do with them. The true Catholic, as our Lord has indicated in his Sermon on the Mount, is not like the pagan. If you love only those who love you, Jesus said, what good is that? Even the pagans do the same. But bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. You see, the standard is much higher for the Catholic. To whom much is given, much will be expected. And therefore, our Lord is indicating what it looks like. How did you live out charity? And the way you lived out charity will, of course, be contingent upon whether or not Christ was actually your king. Whether you lived as though Christ was your king, that Christ had all legislative and juridical and punitive powers in your life, that you lived in his kingdom, therefore you were concerned with his divine pleasure, and you wanted to please him before you would please man. You wanted to please him before you would please your spouse, before you would please your children, before you would please your neighbor. Because if you live this way, then your charity to your spouse, to your children, to your neighbor, will be perfect. Because God is love, Deus caritas est, and without God there is no authentic love. Love is self-interested, love is insipid and watered down, and it's only making things the way I want them to be, and don't let there ever be any kind of challenge against me, because I will not reply with charity to that challenge. I will reply with an assault, an attack. Because if one lives only a human notion of charity, one is only concerned with their puny little personages. That's all that matters. And I only like those who make me feel good, and I will not like those who challenge me or challenge those I love. And I will assault. And I will use evil to confront evil instead of good. That's why the Lord demonstrates in his telling of the last judgment the humility of those who work for his kingdom. They were doing good not because they were trying to get attention, not because they were telling everybody about how good they were as the Pharisees do. They were doing good because it simply is good. It simply is the right thing to do. And therefore, when our Lord exonerates them before all of human creation, because they have been so charitable, because they worked for his kingdom first, they are as surprised as anyone that Christ has such esteem for them. "When did we see you in these various states?" they say in profound humility. And our Lord tells them, because they were so humble and they did it for the least of these. And the church fathers indicate that the least of these brothers is the apostles. In other words, it is the bishops and priests of the church. Believe it or not, the way you treat us is indeed going to affect you at the judgment seat of Christ. Even if we were to treat you badly, the way you treat us, you're going to be judged on. Because it is not the man that you're in relationship with, it is the priest of Jesus Christ that you're in relationship with. And ex opere operato, no matter how bad we might be, the graces still flow because Christ will not be contained by our own individual stupidity as men. The fathers say our Lord was referring to the apostles who are on the 12 thrones. We want to make it just the poor. And indeed, it is quite true that it is good to give to the poor. In fact, the greatest way to do penance is to do almsgiving, and not to charities that agree with you in the sense that they're doing the same thing you're doing, but the things that you know perhaps need to be done that you don't ever think about. Charities that do the work of building up the poor, not simply throwing money or food at them. Charities that actually try to assist them to become independent. There are very few of those today. One should be select. But nonetheless, this is a great way to do penance for your sins, almsgiving. Because when you deprive yourself of something, then you're giving it to someone else, then you are doing penance. Penance is always about deprivation. Intentional deprivation, because we know we need to be punished for our sins. And if we do that in this life, then we will not need it when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ at the particular judgment. But think of how naturally it came to those who lived in the kingdom, who recognized Christ the King, how naturally it came for them to do good. You know, every Catholic layman is supposed to be out there in the world, not simply proclaiming Christ as King of the universe as some far-off distant notion that it'll be okay in the end, but letting the world know that Christ is King in the here and now, that Christ is a King over every soul, that Christ is a King over every family, that Christ is a King over every household, every city, that Christ is a King of every nation. Why? Because he redeemed us by his own blood, saved us whether we wanted to be saved or not. And in the end, when he judges us, that's what the judgment is about, whether or not we wanted his salvation or rejected his salvation of our own free will. And what is the greatest enemy we have in that endeavor towards redemption but pride? Which is why our Lord continues after rewarding those who have been humble and quiet about their good works, those who have quietly done good, imitating Our Lady Mary Most Holy, who lived her life in quiet. Very few words of Our Lady are recorded in Scripture, and these words are ever so important, but you don't see her saying much else. Too many are too talkative and not quiet and docile before the Holy One, our God. And that quiet life that our Lord lived for 30 years, before he did his public ministry. That's what the Catholic layman is supposed to be doing, living that quiet life of sanctification of his family and the world around him. Whatever he can touch, he makes it Catholic. Whatever he can touch, he makes it charitable. Whatever he can touch, he makes it hopeful. Whatever he can touch, he makes it faithful, because he gets his impetus for that from Christ the King, who is God and therefore the source of the theological virtues. But those who are proud do not think that they need anything from the Christ. They will tell Christ how to be the Christ. They will tell Christ what they will do with his church. They will make things and construct things of their own volition, and they will claim it all belongs to God. But you always know it doesn't when there is pride in the mingle. In the mingling of all things, if there is pride, it is not of God, because God resists the proud. Therefore, we see the dynamic. Remember, those who are of the goats did the same exact thing as those who were of the sheep, only they did it differently. They did it for themselves. So our Lord indicates to them the reality of charity and how it was lacking. And they say in their pride, when did we see you in these states and not minister to you? Notice the powerful word Jesus has them use for themselves. We were your ministers, your self-proclaimed ministers who did the work for you. Notice no such language comes from the humble, only from the proud, taking on titles upon themselves. The great impetus of the Second Vatican Council was to get the Catholic laity out there in the world and to transform it. Instead, the laity ran like herds of swine to the sanctuary and took it over and then formed it in their image and likeness, thus reducing Mass to a mere convivial, joyful meal where we'll celebrate ourselves and sing to ourselves, and the priests, in their foolishness, defer to the laity and let the laity dictate policy and do everything, and then we see nothing but chaos in the church. And this is the reality, because the only reason you would want that is because you want to be seen, you want to be experienced, you want to take control. In other words, you're motivated by pride. And therefore they say to the Christ, when did we see you in these states and not minister to you? How blind they were to how Christ worked in the humble. How Christ works in the humble, not in the proud. And they miss the humble ones because they like helping people that draws attention. You know, the people that will go on the news and talk about how wonderful it is that they work at a soup kitchen on Thanksgiving and neglect their families for the sake of that false charity. God never makes vocations in opposition to each other. We priests are not called to spend all of our time raising a family, just as laymen are not called to spend all of their time outside of the home and never doing anything with their family. If it's a true vocation of God, it is consistent with your vocation as a mother and father. If it is not of God, it is not consistent, and it pulls you out of your vocation. In your pride, you may not see it, but in humility, you would. And this is a dangerous reality. This is why the general judgment lets all things be made clear, especially those that everybody thought was so holy. And they usually think they're solely because they're always doing things that are so public, garnering so much attention, that people now begin to think that they are holy. And they cannot live up to the standard that has been set by the world, and therefore the world will assault them tremendously when they fail. If they don't have faith, they won't know how to handle that, and they'll become even more aggressive and fortress mentality. We will hide behind the walls and attack anyone who comes near us. Cannot be that way for the true Roman Catholic who is humble, who lets God set the agenda, who lets the Christ be the example. So be mindful of yourselves on this feast of Christ the King, and be mindful of whether or not you're living in Christ's kingdom or the princedom of the devil. For our Lord calls the devil the ruler of this world. Remember, there are only two kingdoms that you're in. You cannot be in both. You're either in the kingdom of God or the princedom of the devil. There is no middle ground. You're either serving God or serving Satan. And sometimes when you think you're serving God, you are serving Satan. But the best way to know how you're being fooled by the devil is that if what you're doing is prideful, if what you're doing is about you, making you feel good, making you feel in control, making you feel like you've got everything down, and the devil will even give you consolations that make you think it's from God, but it isn't. Now, if it's of God, it requires sacrifice. It requires humility. It requires struggle. It requires opposition. In other words, it requires humility. And if you're not humble, the Christ will humble you for the salvation of your soul. But if you are already lost, then Christ will do nothing to make you humble, and the devil will continue to build you up in your pride. And that's how you know you're lost, because everything always, always, always works out for you in the end, always. And therefore, you'll never be detached from the world. You'll only be attached to it. When your time comes to be judged, you won't want to let go. But when the Christ destroys the world, then you will see the truth. Be mindful of which king you are serving. Be mindful, especially you as laymen, what your mission in the world is, to do the work of Christ in the corner that Christ has planted you, and to do it well for his glory and for the salvation of souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.